That's very good. Okay, John chapter 7 and Esther chapter 3. Two books in the Bible named after women. Only two. One is Esther chapter 3. John chapter 7. Actually, these passages have absolutely no relation to each other. Just thought they'd be good to read. Now, basically, in Esther chapter 3, verse 13, all I want to show is the idea of our whole mailing system in our country. The name is based on a Bible. In particular, the King James Bible, the new Bibles take all this stuff out. Verse 13, Esther 3:13, and the letters were sent by post. How does a post walk around and bring letters to people? The letters were sent by post unto all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children, women, and one day even unto the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. The copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people that they should be ready against that day. The post went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given in Shushan the palace, and the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city of Shushan was perplexed. Basically, I want to show you there is the letters were sent out by postmen. That's where our idea of a post office comes from. That's only found in the King James Bible. Okay, then John chapter 7. You know, they talk about separation church and state. There's no such animal. Not in this country. And this country was based on Christianity, the common law, and the Bible. Now, if you doubt that, I can show you Supreme Court cases to prove that. The Supreme Court has said this on at least, the cases I've read, at least 7-10 cases about this country is founded upon the Bible. Christianity in particular, not Islam. Okay, John chapter 7, verse 14. About the Lord Jesus, about his own life. It says, now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught, and the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? You can see that they're implying never learned, meaning in the formal setting, in a formal school situation. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself speaketh his own glory, or seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to understand the blessings of this blessed book you've given us, and I pray you'd help us to understand the words and know how to apply them to ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Jesus Christ had no formal training. He could just read like anybody else can read, and studied and trained and taught himself. But in Esther, it talks about sending out letters by post. Now, basically, this book in your hand is a love letter from heaven. It's a love letter from God. And I'm going to give you two basic ideas as far as God's delivery service, God's postal system. And God has special delivery. Now, if you look at the postal service or the postal system, We all, of course, we got all sorts of ways now to get mail. You have, now the postal system is called snail mail. I don't think anything's changed on that, but they call it snail mail. Then you have email, where it's going much faster. Airmail. Okay, and then as far as, what do you do when you get your email and your letters in the mailbox? Are we all the same? Don't we open it up immediately? Now, if it's a bill, we throw it in the thing, you know. But if it's a letter from and you saw who it's from, your loved one, you don't throw it on the desk and just sit and let it sit for a while. You know, if it's a letter from your fiance, you smell it first, you know, or something like that. But what do we do when we get letters? Email? Automatically open it fast. Open the letter fast. And we read it anxiously to see what's going on. Now, isn't that how we are to be with the Bible? Now, there are different types of mailing as far as the postal system goes. You have regular or general mail. And then you have special delivery. Now, the special delivery can go certified mail, registered mail, and all that kind of stuff. The special delivery where it's specially brought to you and only you can get it, as far as that goes. God has the basic same structure. The letters of the truth from God come in two basic deliveries. You have your regular delivery, and then you have a special delivery. Now, when I talk about special delivery, I'm not talking about the funny prank or the hoax that a pope did a few years ago where he had an envelope with gold ink and he said he got this directly from St. Peter. You know, I'm not talking about that kind of lies. Had to go airmail, obviously. But even at that, what a bald-faced liar these guys are. I'm talking about a letter or some words of truth from God Almighty where he basically follows two basic delivery methods. And God is the one that initiates these things. And isn't it a shame that the postal system is more faithful to delivering out their letters than Christians are delivering out God's letters? Isn't that a shame? But that's a fact. But even at that, in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, as far as the delivery, the regular delivery, the way God works, God's the one who initiates the contact. Luke 19:10, it says that Jesus Christ said, "I am come to seek and to save that which was lost." The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So that's a general delivery where the Lord Jesus Christ is looking for every lost individual coming to him to get saved. We all have that same thing. Nobody's unique on that. God is not going to come as far as he's not going to avoid anybody. Everybody has an equal chance as far as salvation goes, coming through Jesus Christ. That's a general delivery. God initiates a contact. Now, before God had written revelation of this book, we've got a written copy. You got 66 books right here. Before God did something like that, he gave his words to people through a general delivery by dreams and visions. Numbers chapter 12, verse 6 mentions that. Where if God wanted to make his truth known to people, he'd do it through dreams and visions. Then after that, he wrote the Old Testament. The Old Testament was starting to be written down around 1500 B.C., completed around 400 B.C., so you got about 1,100 years there where God had a general delivery to man, and it was written down so that man can find the truth and read this truth of God. Now, in the New Testament, he has added, after the death of Christ, he's added the 27 books in the New Testament, and if you have the ability to read, you are obligated and you are responsible to know what's in this book. You are obligated, especially in America. Everybody's obligated. You have a regular delivery. You have no excuse, none whatsoever. You can't say, I didn't know. If you can read and you got $5, you can go buy a dime store Bible, a King James Bible. In fact, if you don't have one, we'll give you one. And you're responsible for every word in that book. Regular delivery. Now look, if you would, in Romans chapter 2. Now, there are two regular parts, delivery parts of God's mailing service that everybody on the planet has. Everybody. Romans chapter 2 talks about this, and these two basic delivery aspects of God's regular delivery is in Romans chapter 2, and this basically takes away any excuse that any person has that they can know that first off there's a God and secondly there's a Savior that's willing to save their soul. No excuses. Romans 2 verse 1, he says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man. Anybody. You have no excuse, none whatsoever. Whosoever thou art that judgest, for therein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doeth the same thing. Now the typical argument we hear people say, if you preach to somebody, tell them they're a sinner, the typical thing people say, well, the Bible says you're not supposed to judge. Yet they judge. Isn't that something? The Bible doesn't say you're not supposed to judge. Jesus Christ said to his disciples one time, he posed something to them. He said, how judgest thou? He's telling them to judge. Jesus Christ said, John 7:24, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. The idea of not judging is Matthew 7:1, and that's talking to a hypocrite. Matthew 7, verse 5. We all have to judge. Judging something is nothing more than discernment or discretion or discrimination. When you're on the highway, if you can't judge between a green light and a red light, stay off the roads. That's judging. That's judging. Now, it's funny. When you witness to somebody and they say to you, why don't you keep your beliefs to yourself? Why don't they keep their beliefs to themselves? They're just trying to push their belief on me. When they say, why don't you just keep your beliefs to yourself? Okay, then why don't you keep yours to yourself? They say, well, my beliefs are private. Okay, then keep them private. Mine are public. The Lord Jesus Christ wants us to take this out publicly. Now, I can understand why most of theirs are private, because they're ashamed of what they believe. I'm not ashamed of my Savior. Believing what they believe, I would be ashamed too. I wouldn't tell anybody about it. But you see, the Lord has given us things in the Bible, and we all, Romans 2, we have no excuse. Romans 2, verse 2, it says, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. What things is he talking about here? Well, the chapter starts off with the word therefore, and you got to back up to see what that's there for. And when you back up and read the verses before, chapter 2, starting in verse 18 down to 32, you find out what happens to a society when they're taught that they came from a monkey. That's right. Yeah. When they're taught that evolution is a fact. That's what Romans 1, verse 23 is talking about. In 22, it says, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. There's your college professor. What happens when the society is taught that they evolved from an orangutan or a gorilla or amoeba or a tadpole? Well, what happens to them? Verse 24, you have a bunch of sodomites running around. That is a byproduct of that. You got a bunch of queers running around. You see, and what that does, that produces wicked behavior, verse 29, 30, 31, 32. That's the such things that he's talking about. Sodomites. They say, oh, You're homophobic. They're Bible-phobic. They say, we're born this way. I'm sorry, I was born straight. You see, when you try to get an intellectual conversation with these people, you're not dealing with a full deck, so it's kind of hard to even deal with them. Their arguments speak against themselves. Every one of them are fortunate their parents didn't practice what they believe, because they wouldn't be here. But that's what he's talking about in verse 2 of Romans 2. They're trying to cram their beliefs down your throat, and they're working hard at it, and they've got the news media behind them. You can't say what you believe, but they can say what they want to believe. And it's obvious they're in complete violation of the law, because they don't care about the law. But Romans 2 verse 3, it says, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? No, we're not going to escape. Nobody's going to escape the judgment of God except through Jesus Christ. That's the way out. Okay, but what happens if somebody doesn't know about Jesus Christ? What if they don't know about a Bible? Do they have an excuse? No, because God's general delivery method is through your conscience. You'll see that in verse 15. We all got a conscience. Everybody was born with a pure conscience. Everybody was. Now, the problem is a lot of people sear their conscience and ruin it. Now, how do you know you have a conscience? Well, do you remember the first time you did some things wrong as a kid? Didn't you get real quiet? Aren't alert parents, don't they realize that when it gets real quiet in the other rooms, the kids are up to something? What's doing that? That's their conscience. That's their conscience, letting them know what they're doing is not the right thing. Mom and Paul won't be happy about that, so let's be quiet about this. Let's do it in quiet. Let's do this in secret. That's why a lot of wickedness goes on at nighttime, because they think they're hiding because nobody can see them. When rioting is in the daytime, you're dealing with a real wicked society. No shame. Somebody walks out in this adult bookstore out here. It ain't adult, but it's a perverted bookstore. In the broad daylight, you're dealing with a real reprobate. I mean, you ought to be sneaking in there like a snake, if anything. But even at that, our conscience, a man's conscience, God put in your conscience right and wrong, and a person can mess up their conscience. Verse 4, he says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of the Lord leadeth thee to repentance? But after the hardness and impotent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Boy, that's quite a verse. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, to the Jew first and also the Gentile, but glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. No excuse for sin. You got a conscience, verse 15, and that conscience is going to accuse you when you do wrong. It's going to accuse you. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean while accusing or else excusing one another. When your conscience convicts you, you have one of two choices. Accuse yourself that you're wrong, or excuse yourself and justify yourself. When a person justifies themselves, their conscience is seared. The next time it won't be as less evil. The next time as less evil. The next time, hey, well, I'm considered evil. The next time they'll be promoting it, and the next time they can kill their mother and give you reasons why they could do it. like the two fellas out there in California killed their parents, and they're the victims. Not the parents, but the ones that shot them. That's a seared conscience. Now, every man, every woman on earth has a conscience. They were born with a pure conscience, and every one of us have the creation to tell us there's a God. The heavens declare the glory of God. Now, everybody's got that. Now, that's general delivery. Okay, that's general delivery. But wouldn't it be great to have special delivery? Something special from God, right to you? Well, God's got those things laid out too. Now, the special delivery begins, and it is illustrated in Deuteronomy chapter 8 to the Jewish people. Jesus Christ came to earth specially for the Jewish people, and his ministry was a ministry that was special right to the Jewish people. He told his disciples, he said, go not into the way of the Gentiles. And then he said, because we're going to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Can you imagine that? Jesus Christ comes specially to that group of people. Man, we just got it on the side. He came to them specially. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, when you read down through verse 15, 16, 17, 18, the Lord told these people, they said, there's going to be a prophet that's going to come like unto Moses, and he is going to make my words known unto you. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15 down to 18. That was a special delivery. Jesus Christ came down to this planet, and he made the words known to the Jewish people. He was like unto Moses. And they didn't sign the certified paper. They rejected delivery. Rejected Jesus Christ. Now there are fine, you'll find some times in the Bible where Jesus Christ specifically went to some Gentiles. John chapter 4. Verse 4. Jesus Christ made a special effort to go talk to a Samaritan woman. That's a special delivery. John 4, verse 4, it says that he must needs go through Samaria. Isn't that funny? He had a letter he had to deliver. And he was going to go to Samaria, and here he talked to a woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. And what was it about her that was unique that the Lord said, I want to bring something to her specially? Something about her. There's another special delivery he brought in Acts chapter 8. Acts 8, 29, where the Spirit of God told a man named Philip, he said, Philip, I want you to go talk to that black man over there, that Ethiopian eunuch. I said, I want you to go talk to him, and I want you to talk to him specifically. And he runs over there, and that black man, that Ethiopian eunuch, was reading his Bible. He was reading his general delivery. He's reading some general delivered mail. Regular mail came to him through the Bible. He was reading Isaiah 53. And here comes special delivery who's going to explain that book to him. What was it about that guy? Why did he get that special delivery? In fact, he was so unique, Philip left an entire city revival just to go talk to one fella. That was strange. In Acts chapter 10, there's a white man named Cornelius. In Acts 8, you have a black man getting saved. In Acts 9, you got a brown man getting saved. In Acts 10, you got a white man getting saved. And they all had special delivery. Cornelius. Chapter 10, verse 19, Peter went specially just to go talk to Cornelius. God got in that effort. God got involved. And he's the one that wanted to bring the message to him. Now, I'm a type of an individual. I want to try to figure out why he did that. Why of the millions of people on earth did he make an effort to go talk to one Samaritan woman? Why did he choose the smallest group of people in the Old Testament, the Jews? Why did he choose those people to bring a special delivery to? Why did he go to one man, an Ethiopian eunuch, one fella, Why did he leave a whole town wide of people getting saved, and here he went to one fella and talked to him? That makes me scratch my head, and I want to know why he did that. Why would I want to know why? I want to find out what those people had so that I could put what they had in my life so the Lord brings me some special delivery. That's what I'm looking for. You say kind of selfish motive. Tough apples, that's how it goes. I want to know the truth. Well, if you go back and do a little research on this thing, Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, here is why the Lord chose the Jewish people. Genesis 18, 19. There's a fella back there in Genesis 12 named Abraham. Abraham and Sarah. And he put a test on that man named Abraham, a test that most everybody on the planet at the time would have failed, if not all of them. And this here fella passed the test. Abraham. The Jewish people today have their special place in God's heart because of Abraham. One fella. And that's been going on ever since. What was in this guy's life that God saw in him that he liked about him? Genesis 18, verse 19. The Lord said, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him." Notice he's a family man. He's a family man where he's a man that says, "Family, you follow me. I'm not going to make you do it if I'm not going to do it, but I'm going to do it first, and you can follow me. You can count on that." He's a family man. And he was concerned for his family, where he's, and the Lord says about him, "And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment." Isn't that interesting? "That the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." Now, there's a lot more about this man than that, but right there, this man believed in truth and justice. It just wasn't show with him. It was legitimate. Most people that talk about truth and justice today, it's all talk. This guy believed in real truth and real justice. We got a judge down in our area where he wrote several years ago on a paper that justice means just us. That's what they believe. That's what they believe. Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant is an everlasting covenant. It's an everlasting agreement. God made an agreement with this man. And that thing is still in force today. And it will never be over because it's an everlasting covenant. Psalms 105 shows that it's everlasting. And it's because one man believed in truth and justice. One man. Well, that's something. Now, there's another man that was brought special delivery that I didn't mention this guy earlier, but in Daniel chapter 9, here he had a special delivery from an angel. Daniel 9. In fact, the Lord is so interested in truth and justice in Jeremiah 5 that he mentioned, he said, "I'm going to destroy Jerusalem, but before I do it, I want you, Jeremiah, I want you to walk through the city, and I want you to see if you can find one man who believed in truth and justice. If you can find one, I won't destroy it." He couldn't find one. The Lord destroyed Jerusalem. They couldn't find one judge in the city that believed in truth and justice. They couldn't find one bureaucrat that believed in truth and justice. What he's talking about, he's referring to the leadership, the so-called leadership of the city and the nation. And Jeremiah couldn't find one. Where are we at in our country? Getting pretty ugly, isn't it? Getting pretty ugly. Okay, Daniel chapter 9, verse 20. Daniel when you look through this, you'll see that he's confessing sin before this, up to verse 19. It's all confessing his sin, his family's sin, his nation's sin, everybody's sin, anybody you name it, he was confessing it. And while he was doing that, verse 20, "Whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Special delivery. Why did he bring that to Daniel? Well, when you read the preceding chapters, this man was honest and humble. I mean, if you read this confession of what he did starting at verse 3 to verse 19, this man had an honest and humble confession of his sin, and he was so honest and humble about his confession, the Lord said, I want to go give that guy something. You see, it says in Isaiah 66, verse 2, he says, the Lord said, I am going to look at the man who is of a poor and a contrite spirit and the man who trembles at my word. That's the man God looks at, specifically. It's like the apple of his eye. An honest and a humble confession of sin. Now, I'm not talking about this fake confessions nowadays. You know, back in a telephone booth in some church. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking an honest confession of your sin to Jesus Christ. Looking in a mirror and say, you are a wretched fool. You are a wretched sinner. You are a wicked man. And you need to fall on your face to Jesus Christ. You have wronged people. You have done this. You have done that. You have ignored God. You haven't read his book. The sins of omission are just as great as the sins of commission. And so an honest and a humble confession, when the Lord sees that in somebody's heart, he's willing to go give them some special delivery. Okay, what about that Samaritan woman? She was a lady I mentioned, John chapter 4. Let's check out that lady a little bit. John chapter 4. Let's see what she had. You got to kind of read into these people's lives and try to figure out what they're like. You got to kind of try to get in their head somehow. And the certain words that are recorded in the Bible allows you to do that. John 4, verse 11. Now, obviously, if you read, you should read the whole record of their conversation, all 42 verses from John 4, 1 through 42. Okay, but I'm just going to kind of hop, skip, and jump here as we go through it, trying to pick out what was in this lady's heart. What was it about her that Jesus Christ said, I must needs go through Samaria? He had a special delivery he wanted to make to this woman. Verse 11, it says, the woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Notice she's asking a question. Verse 15. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Verse 19. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Notice her attitude. The Lord has given her questions and her sincere faith. She is asking him questions not to be a smart aleck. You see, you have these Pharisees, Matthew 22, 35, like a lawyer, it says, he said, I want to ask you a question. And it says he asked them a question, tempting him. Different attitude how you ask them questions. This woman, she was sincerely... The Lord said to her, give me some water. She said, Sir, what are you talking to me for? I'm the scum of the earth as far as you Jews are concerned. And he just kind of ignored that question. And then she says, well, if you knew who you're talking to, I'd give you living water. She goes, Sir, living water? Boy, I'd like to have some of that. He says, oh, you would? Why don't you go call your husband? She said, he said, you've had five husbands. She said, Sir, boy, I think you're a prophet. You must be a prophet. She was sincere about that. You see, when somebody exposes your beliefs, if you're sincere, you're grateful for them to expose in something wrong with your beliefs instead of having to defend yourself. You don't have to defend truth. truth stands alone. If somebody walks up to me and says, you're wrong about something, I am? What is it? If you tell me I'm wrong and you correct me when I was wrong, I'll be grateful for you to help me out. But I'm going to ask you some questions. Not to be a smart aleck, I'm going to ask you some questions because I want to know in my heart, from a sincere heart, I want to be fully persuaded in my own mind. That's what I want to know. I want to be thoroughly convinced. You see, the Bible says simple believeth every word, but the prudent seeketh after knowledge. People believe everything you say, and I don't expect you to believe everything I say. And you're not supposed to believe everything I say, and I don't ever expect that. But if you're sincere, you'll search it out. If you're not, you won't. Sincere faith. This lady had a sincere faith, and she was trying to be consistent in her faith. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 15, more or less gives comment on the type of faith that this woman had. Proverbs 18:15, where it says, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. The other side of that coin is Proverbs 14, verse 6, where it says this, a scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. You have two different people looking for the truth, and you have two different ideas. The reason why is God reads right down into that heart, and if a man is trying to justify his sin, God will give him what he wants. And if a man is honest, trying to figure out what is really true, the Lord will give him what he needs. This Samaritan woman had a sincere faith. And she was trying to figure out the truth. Now, if you happen to be back in John 4, I will show you another person later on in the same chapter that displayed the same thing. Okay, in verse 50, John 4:50, here's a nobleman. This is one of the big dogs. A nobleman. He had a son that was sick. And his cohorts would have said, don't you go to Jesus Christ to get your kids healed. Yeah, that's easy for them to say. When it's your child sick, you're going to go anywhere to try to get them healed. And so here he comes to Jesus Christ, John 4, verse 49. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word. Isn't that something? He believed what he said right on the spot. He had a sincere faith right on the spot. He believed the word that Jesus had spoken on him and went his way. And on his way, no doubt his flesh, if it's like my flesh, would say, are you really just going to believe what he just said? Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to believe it. But you keep reading, and as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to mend, and they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house. The first time he believed it, the next time he knew it. He knew it. That's a sincere faith. That's a sincere faith. Matthew 5, verse 6, it says, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You see, the purpose of God's special delivery, God will bring a special delivery and give you truth that he won't get to other people if you have a sincere belief in your heart, you believe in truth and justice, if you have an honest and humble confession of your sin, and you have a sincerity in your heart, and God can read right down in to see it. When he sees that, God is no respecter of persons, and he will bring special delivery to you to explain things that other people don't get. And he'll give you that in your heart, and where you can not only say, I believe what the Bible says, but I know what the Bible says, and I know it's a fact. From personal experiences. Special delivery. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray that you'd help us to desire your special deliveries. And Lord, I pray that if somebody's here has never trusted Christ as their Savior, that they would realize that they have a general delivery. They got an offer where the Lord has come to seek and to save that which was lost. But now somebody's concerned and wants to give them special delivery about true salvation in Jesus Christ. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, we could show you, somebody could show you in the Bible, not only how you can believe you're going to heaven, but you know it. It's written down in a record. God gave us a Bible so you could know you have eternal life. Are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? If you died right now, would you be going to heaven? If you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, we have gone past general delivery now. This is special delivery. The Lord Jesus Christ is willing to save you, and we're willing to show you in the Bible how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. What a peace and a joy you can have in your heart. If you're saying, "Preacher, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven," by an uplifted hand, you're just asking me to pray for you. You're asking me to pray that you can know for sure you're going to heaven. Is there anyone in here? You're just asking me to pray for you. We're not going to bug you. We're not going to put any pressure on you. All we want you to do is have special delivery that we've had about salvation. Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Anybody in here? You're not sure you're going to heaven. I'd like to pray for you, okay? I'm going to do that. Anybody else? Special delivery. Okay, I'm going to pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help one raise his hand for knowing for sure he's going to heaven. Lord, I do pray you'd help him to know that. Lord, I'm so glad that many years ago that somebody showed me how to be saved. What joy and peace I have because of that. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be willing to help anybody to know for sure they're going to heaven when they die. Greatest news in the world. Well, heads bowed and eyes are closed. The entrance will play. The altar's open if you need it. Now, we're not going to bug you about it, but if you want to know for sure you're going to heaven, we can have somebody show you. Greatest news in the world is knowing that you're going to heaven when you die. Bible, B-I-B-L-E, means be informed before leaving earth. If you need the altar, it's open for you. General delivery. We all have that, our conscience and the creation, telling us there's a righteous and a holy God. Special delivery in that Jesus Christ came to earth and died. There are other truths that the Lord will bring specially to the humble, to the sincere, to the ones who believe in truth and justice. Lord Jesus, I do pray that you'd help us to have a humble heart and a mind, sincere mind, and a willing heart to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be clear in our understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Lord bless you. We're dismissed.